Our gospel for this morning comes from Mark chapter 1. It's the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but the one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Please be seated. It's good to see you. Let us pray. Dear God, this weekend as the snow has fallen and the rain has come down, we are mindful of the living waters of baptism that surround us, that are above us, that are below us, that are in us, the waters that your voice moves upon and says, "You too are my beloved." Help us to know our belovedness in your eyes and to see the belovedness of each person. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, back on December 20th, I celebrated the 20th anniversary of my ordination, and I've been feeling nostalgic ever since. And this week, I've been thinking back to my first preaching class and wondering how I ever passed it. I was in divinity school at Harvard in my second year, and the class was taught by Professor Peter Gomes, the preacher at the Memorial Church in Harvard Yard. The class was held in the Memorial Church, which is a huge sanctuary that seats around 1,000 people. The pulpit is 10 feet high, and you have to climb a spiral staircase to get up there. And as you walk up, you pass a dedication to Philip Brooks, one of the great American preachers and churchmen of all time. From the pulpit, you look out on this vast empty space with your 7 classmates sitting there in the front pews. And then about 3/4 of the way back sits Professor Gomes, then one of the top 10 preachers in all of America, a larger-than-life personality sitting there with his head down taking notes as you preached. Afterwards, we'd adjourn downstairs to analyze our sermons in what he called the post-mortem. Everything about that experience was intimidating and at times terrifying for a new preacher. And the hardest part is that you had to preach without notes. You had to preach extemporaneously. Under these circumstances, you were lucky if you could remember your own name in that pulpit, let alone the entire 8-minute sermon that you were supposed to give from heart. But that's what we had to do. But Professor Gomes reassured us and gave us some advice. He said, if all else failed, if we went totally blank, just to say, "Jesus loves you, and so do I," and sit down. And I've never forgotten that advice. And although I've never had to use it in class or since, now that I have my nice notes on my iPad, it's one of the most important things that I ever learned about preaching. For all the pomp and pageantry of Memorial Church, for all the nerves that we felt and all the ways that we were trying to be clever preachers, when it all came down to it, when you said that, you said it all. You preached. You touched the simple and radical heart of the Christian faith. Jesus loves you, and so do I. And I think today, on the baptism of Jesus, is one of those kinds of sermons. It is a God loves you, and so do I. Our readings for today tell a tale of two baptisms, the baptism of John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was a public expression of people's intention and desire to turn their hearts toward God and change their lives in preparation for the coming Messiah. Jesus comes to the Jordan and submits to John's baptism, and there, something altogether new happens. The gospel says that Jesus came and was baptized by John in the Jordan, and just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus' baptism was not about repentance, he was sinless, but about being God's beloved. I like how one commentator describes the difference. They say, "A chief difference between John's baptism and the baptism in the name of Jesus is John's baptism of repentance points almost entirely to a personal turning away from evil and toward good. Baptism in the name of Jesus entails a divinely given reality." In John's baptism, the emphasis is on the individual's desire and resolve to do better. In Jesus' baptism, we are ushered into an entirely new reality in which we are named and claimed as beloved children of God. Mary Struthert puts it this way in her book. She says, "Faith is not about doing the right thing. It is about trusting the right God. Not about doing, but trusting." This morning, Max Love, who is 11 years old, will be baptized at the 10:30 service. And when we met together with his family this week to prepare, I explained to him that baptism is a moment when we hear God say to us, "I love you. You are my beloved." And today is actually Max's birthday. He turns 11 this very day. So he's celebrating his birthday and his baptism on the same day, which is very cool. And I said to him that when he was born on this day, 11 years ago, his parents looked at him for the first time and their hearts exploded with love. And they knew then and there that they would love him completely and always and forever, no matter what. And that is how God loves us, always and forever, no matter what. At the font, Max will be ushered into a new reality as the beloved child of God. And he will receive the irrevocable promise that God will love him unconditionally and be his God always and forever. And we will be reminded of that too, that we too are beloved children of God. This is a good reminder for us because I think sometimes we forget or confuse which kind of baptism it is that we have received. We hear some of that same confusion in our reading from Acts and Paul's conversation with the early Christians in Ephesus. They had been baptized by another early church evangelist named Apollos, but it turned out only into the baptism of John. They had been baptized into a baptism of repentance and had not received the baptism of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul lays his hands on them, and they do. Many times, I think, we act like we have received the baptism of John, that the responsibility is on us to repent, to turn, to change, so that we can be acceptable to God and maybe even to ourselves. And this is a particularly dangerous time for that in the season of New Year's resolutions. We are all making plans for how we are going to do better and be better and change. Most of them, mine included, will peter out in about 6 weeks from now. We can often treat faith in the same way, like a New Year's resolution to get in spiritual shape so that we feel better about ourselves and that maybe God will feel better about us too. But that is the baptism of John. In the baptism of Jesus, into which we have already been baptized, we are already fully loved, fully accepted, fully forgiven, and fully restored. That is our starting point. Everything we do from there is only a response to that free gift that we receive in the waters of baptism. It is a sharing of the love that we have first received and living in this new reality that Jesus called the reign of God. This is why Lutherans only baptize once and baptize babies, because it is not up to us. It is not about what we know. It is not about what we do. Our resolutions and promises will waver and falter. Instead, it is up to God. God's promises never fail. And for all the promises that we make at baptism with parents and godparents and the entire congregation, the most important promise is God's. In Genesis, we hear how the voice of God moved over the waters of creation and brought forth light and life. And in the psalm, we hear the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. And what is that voice saying over the waters of creation and the Jordan River and over the waters of this font and over the water that we drink and wash with, the waters of rivers and streams and oceans around us? What is that voice saying? That voice says, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." That voice says, "You are enough. You are loved. You are accepted. You are precious. You are not forgotten, abandoned, or alone. You are mine." "You may forget that," God says, "but I never will." Jesus loves you, and so do I. Amen.